The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Cruise Radio is brought to you in part by TripInsurance.com. Travel insurance done right. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. So happy to have you here, my friend. Coming up a little later on in the program, we'll get a full review of Carnival Pride from Sherry Laskin. But first, as you know, last week, Carnival Corporation announced a new cruise brand. In fact, their 10th cruise brand, and it's called Fathom. The response, some good, some bad, and some people just totally slaughtering it online. So we have Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy, on the line right now to tackle some of the feedback and get his thoughts. So what's up, Stuart?
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
Good, man. So as you know, last week we were both in New York City for the event. Carnival Corporation launched their 10th brand called Fathom. A lot of response, some good, some bad. So we want to tackle some of the response today on the show, if you're up to it.
I am absolutely up to it.
Okay, so we'll get right into it, man. The first comment I got said, if you're giving back, why is the cruise brand charging $1,500 per person when you can get a 7-night Caribbean cruise for half the price?
Well, that's a great question. The reality is, Doug, that one, look at the ship that they're offering. This is a 5-star ship that they're going to be sailing on. Mm-hmm. Two, essentially a free cruise. This isn't a, you know, they're not donating anything in the sense of, you know, just, you know, providing you a ride to go to the Dominican Republic so you can do, you know, go offer free time. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a cruise. There is an experience. There are programs. It's not free for them. It's costing them money. And look, a free program, Doug, would be unsustainable.
Right.
So, I mean, and you're going on a deluxe ship. These programs are being provided for you to be able to, donate your time. Look, it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the beauty of cruising, Doug, is that there is something for everybody. There's a lot of people that would like to be able to give of themselves, but they don't want to have to sleep in a tent, mm-hmm, and eat some really, you know, crappy food that was made out of boiling water outside.
And we touched on this a little bit last week because you were talking about the ship on the show. But I mean, how good of a ship is this ship? I mean, is it a luxury ship?
Well, this is a deluxe ship. This was Renaissance Cruises R8. It was briefly used in 2001 when it debuted before Renaissance went out of business. Essentially, Carnival Corp acquired it through Princess Cruises. It was the Royal Princess II. Mm-hmm. It was then switched over, redeployed to P&O Cruises as the Adonia, which is what it is now, and other cruise lines that use it. This is the backbone of Oceana Cruises and Azamara Club Cruises.
So we're talking about a nice ship. This isn't like a fantasy class Carnival ship, then.
This is a very nice ship, and it's providing a very nice experience for people wanting to, you know, learn more about what is going on in the world, to be able to participate, to be able to make differences in people's lives. This is not just a Caribbean cruise where you pull up into a port and go to the beach.
Mm-hmm. Our second comment, Stuart, someone kind of slinging a little mud. They said, interesting concept, but I can't see it working. I give it 6 months. What would you say to that, Stuart?
Well, I would say this type of a person that would make this kind of a comment may be a little short-sighted. I hope that we've enlightened them as to the benefit that will be provided. But, you know, the same thing happened, was said about the wheel. You know, electricity, you know, who's going to use it? It is another opportunity. And it is programs like this, it is ideas like this, Doug, that provide more options for people to get into cruising. A lot of people that have never taken a cruise will want to take advantage of this, go on a cruise, and see what cruising is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's not for everyone. But, you know, it's not like, you know, Carnival woke up one day and said, hey, this sounds like a great idea. Mm-hmm. Extensive amounts of research went into putting this program together. And it wasn't a light decision for them to, one, commit to it and provide this kind of a ship as the beginning of what could be some great opportunities in other destinations around the world.
Our next comment, charity starts in our backyard, not 1,000 miles away from home.
Well, unfortunately, there aren't many cruise ships, and current laws do prevent foreign flag ships from sailing between two different U.S. ports. And the other thing is that Carnival is one of the most generous corporations providing aid to different programs, not only around the world, but to the United States.
Yeah, yeah. And like you were saying, I mean, this isn't for the people who think that charity starts in our backyard. They could go down to their community center and donate the time. Like you were saying, this isn't for everybody.
Right. This is providing another experience.
Our fourth comment, pay to work. Screw that.
Okay. Hey, you know, that's this isn't for everybody.
Yeah. The fifth one, Stuart, not for me. And to dock for 5 days in a poverty-stricken place sounds like the tourists will be nothing but hounded constantly for money. I wouldn't do it if it was half the price.
Great comment. You know, again, you know, there are plenty of other options for other people to take advantage of.
Yeah, and to me, it doesn't sound like this is going to be one of the places where people are hounding you for money. I mean, this port and the whole system seems well thought out.
Well, the reason why Carnival Corporation decided on the Dominican Republic is, as you know, almost $100 million is being put into the construction and development of Amber Cove in the Dominican mm-hmm. Republic. So there are resources, there is infrastructure that has been created in order to do a lot of different programs, because they're going to be accepting various Carnival Corporation ships. You know, you got Princess, you got Holland America, you got Carnival, Seabourn. I mean, you got all kinds of different brands that will be pulling in and out of Amber Cove. Mm-hmm. So why not, you know, be able to, you know, look, there's low-lying fruit. We can bring in, you know, our ship for Fathom, mm-hmm. and we have the infrastructure. It's safe, and we are also within close proximity of where we're going to be hosting our programs.
This is kind of a sidebar question, but because other Carnival Corp brands do and will call it Amber Cove, I guess it's not open yet, but can the other cruise brands help in this, or is this strictly a Fathom thing only?
The answer is I don't.
Okay.
And I don't believe that they will do that.
Okay.
Because it's a whole different experience, and then it would be infringing upon what's going on with Fathom.
Gotcha.
It's a whole different ballgame. I mean, this isn't about shore excursions, Doug. Mm-hmm. These are genuine programs. There is training and preparation work that goes on before the cruise and during the cruise before the arrival in the Dominican Republic.
Right.
So this isn't, you know, they're just not pulling in and, hey, let's go feed a few people.
Yeah.
Or let's go, you know, chop some, you know, cacao plant and create some chocolate brownies.
Right.
Gotcha. So they're two distinctly different programs.
Last comment, someone says, this is a way to weaken the fabric of the DR like all-inclusives have done. What do you think about that, Stuart?
I completely disagree. I think that with the potential of bringing in 35,000 people over the course of a year that are there specifically over the course of 3 days at a time, 3 days every week, Doug, to make a difference in other people's lives, I think will only help, not to mention it will be bringing in economic benefit to the region, helping the local programs. And it will also allow these people, you know, possibly to say, hey, you know what, this is really good. We would like to do more even after the cruise.
Would you call this a new cruise line or just a brand?
Well, I mean, a brand is a cruise line.
Yeah.
I mean, with Carnival Corp, this is the 10th brand. It's like, you know, they have 10 brands, you know, Carnival, Holland America, you know, Seabourn, Cunard, Princess. I mean, these are some of the biggest names in cruising.
Mm-hmm.
And for their parent company, and not to mention, Doug, they have 101 cruise ships. And if this does prove successful, they do have other ships that they could redeploy to this brand.
We've been talking with Stuart Chiron, the Cruise Guy. Find him at cruiseguy.com or on Twitter at Cruise Guy. Thank you for your insight, man.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Doug.
This is Cruise Radio.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer, if you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel, or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio.
We always like getting your cruise reviews. If you have one you'd like to share, just email comments at cruiseradio.net, like Sherry Laskin from cruisemaven.com. She just returned from a 7-night sailing aboard Carnival Pride, hitting the Western Caribbean, and she joins us this evening. Hello, Sherry.
Hello, Doug. How are you?
Good, thanks. So before we talk about your cruise, let's take a step back and let me ask you, what made you want to sail Carnival Pride from Tampa?
Well, there are three reasons. I wasn't just picking something at random. First of all, to me, from where I live in Central Florida, Tampa Port is very attractive. Mm-hmm. It's close. It's convenient. It's still small enough where you don't have all the hustle and bustle of Fort Lauderdale or Miami. So that was one reason. Another reason was I wanted to check out all the new Funship 2.0 makeovers that the Pride just went through in the last year. Mm-hmm. So that was another reason. And the third reason was it was the only ship from Tampa that was going to be in Grand Cayman on the day that I wanted to be there for a special event. So the stars lined up correctly and all three wishes came true.
Since you drove to Tampa, what was your parking situation like? Did you park at the pier?
Well, I tried something new this time, and I do recommend it. I tell everybody to always arrive the night before, but I never follow my own advice. But this time I did. And I stayed at the Marriott Courtyard in West Shore. And they have a ship and park and shuttle package that is well worth the cost of admission. And the only thing that it doesn't include is breakfast. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Not everybody eats huge breakfasts anyway. And their shuttle, a local shuttle, picked me up at noon. I was at the port and on the ship by about 12:40. After the cruise was over, I just had to phone the driver who gave me his card. You prepay for this service with the hotel. And he's waiting out in front for you when you get off the ship and claim your luggage.
So you get to the port of Tampa. How was embarkation there for Carnival Pride?
It worked out great. There were two other ships. There was an NCL and a Holland ship in port, so it wasn't, you know, totally deserted there. Queued through and around and up the escalator, and then there was another queue to wait. Again, Carnival's very good. If you are a Platinum or Diamond member, you can go to your own little area, or if you have a suite.
Let's move on and get on board the ship here. So what were your first impressions of Carnival Pride?
It was Carnival. You know, you can step onto any ship, and I think they all have their own look and feel, but you step onto any Carnival ship and the atrium is jumping. There's a DJ playing welcome aboard type Caribbean style music, and you can't help but smile. Mm-hmm. It's one of those very strange feelings, but you know, sometimes I'll walk onto a ship and you look around and you think, you know, which way do I go? Where's my room? You know, where is everybody? And when you walk onto a Carnival ship and the Pride in particular, you just know you're going to have a good time.
So you make your way through the ship, through the public areas, into your stateroom. So since you were able to get to your stateroom early, what kind of stateroom did you have, and what were your impressions of it?
Well, I was in a balcony stateroom, and I was unaware that this ship in particular has four different types of balcony staterooms.
Wow.
Mine was a standard balcony. It was not obstructed, so I had a beautiful view. I was on deck 7, so it put me, you know, right in the middle of the ship. I had no one across the hall from me, so I knew it would be pretty quiet. And, you know, it just sparkled. It really looked good. Furnishings looked great. The shower curtain did not have mold on it, as I've seen on other cruise line ships. So it was really, it sparkled. It was very, very nice.
Cool. So let's talk about dining on Carnival Pride, and let's start at the Lido areas and work our way down.
Oh, I love it. you know, and I'm not like a party type person, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, I'm addicted to the Guy Fieri burgers, and I love the Blue Iguana Cantina, their tacos. They have a selection of hot sauces that it's like being, you know, in an authentic Mexican cantina somewhere in Cozumel. There's like 57 different types of salsas and sauces to put on your tacos. The dive-in movies that they have, you know, their outdoor screen, it's not huge because these are all retrofitted anyway.
Let's get back on track here and talk about food. You like the Lido Deck Marketplace. What about the main dining room?
The main dining room, I started out, I was dining by myself. I had a table for two by the window, and most of the tables for two were window located. There were a couple odd ones here and there that I think they just put there to take up space. The colors in the dining room, it's very muted. It's very relaxing. It's a beautiful dining room. And the food was your typical fare. You know, they did the lobster on gala night. They had prime rib. They had roast turkey. And there's always the everyday menu with roast chicken and a steak and grilled salmon and a vegetarian dish.
Did you do the specialty restaurant, David's Steakhouse, on board?
I did. I went up to David's, and it was very nice. I've done this one before. I'm sure you have too. And you know, they have the different steaks that they show you. They bring out the platter with the raw hunks of meat on it and a lobster tail, so you can see what you're getting. And they explain the cuts of meat, how they're going to be prepared. And it doesn't fail to please. It's $35 now, and you get a starter. You get it's like a first plate, and a mousse bouche also comes out, and then your entree with two sides. It's upscale cuisine. They do a very nice job of it.
Let's move on to the entertainment now, because Carnival Pride underwent Funship 2.0 like in October of 2014. And with that, it brought some shows and Hasbro the game show on board. So what did you think of the entertainment on Carnival Pride?
While I miss the old type of entertainment, they used to have these fabulous laser light shows and mm-hmm. and Vegas-style costumes with the huge feather headdresses on the dancing girls. You know, that's all in the past. And now they had their dancers. They did an 80s show one night. The Playlist Productions did a 60s tribute. They had all sorts of a Caribbean night. And it was nice. And they packed the theater, so someone must like it. I'm not really a big event show, you know, the show night person, but mm-hmm. I did go just so I could say that I saw it, and it was good. They had the DJ on the Lido, of course, and of course they have the comedy, the George Lopez comedy show, which it was hilarious, and I never go to those either, and I went.
What was your itinerary on this sailing? Because this isn't your normal itinerary.
This was a different itinerary. Okay. That it went to Costa Maya. Then we did go to Belize, then Mahogany Bay, you know, in the Bay Islands in Honduras, and Grand Cayman. So it was basically four back-to-back ports, and they were flanked by two sea days. So, you know, you had this little port intensive span, and then you could relax at the end. So I think the itinerary it's wonderful.
Out of those four ports you hit, which one was your favorite?
Well, you know, as I said at the beginning, I was on a mission to get to Grand Cayman for their annual Cayman cookout event. So that probably was my favorite, but I'm partial to Costa Maya. I've been there since before the hurricane wiped it out in, 2005, I think. Mm-hmm. So I've got a long past going there, and it's very interesting. You know, you can take a full day tour and visit the Mayan ruins, and it's definitely a full day tour. Or for $3, you can hop in one of these little trolley shuttles that you pick up at the back of the port complex and go into the little town of Mahual. Mm-hmm. And once you go there, there's beautiful beaches. Some beach club / restaurants are there. I always go to one particular place and just have lunch and look out at the sea and just chill out for a couple of hours.
Very cool. So, Sherry, in closing here, do you have any first-time tips for people sailing Carnival Pride or heading over to the Western Caribbean?
Well, my first bit of advice is if you could combine both, great, because this itinerary was fantastic. Your first time in the Western Caribbean, you can, you know, plan ahead a little bit so that you're not disappointed. If you want to do the Mexican and Mayan ruins, reserve those ahead of time because they are big sellers. If you're a snorkeler, and this is prime snorkel territory, you may want to bring your own gear and also reserve that plenty of time because those buses will fill up. Of course, you know, as you and I always do, you can hop a taxi and do anything, but first timers tend to stick with the ship's tours. For the Pride itself, you know, you don't have to be there at noon to board on, you know, to board and enjoy the day. The food's not going to run out. If you're running a little bit late, you can get there at 2 o'clock. You'll still get your full buffet lunch. Guy Fieri, it just keeps, they run the people through there so fast. You never wait more than a couple of minutes for what I think are the best hamburgers at sea. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, if you can get a balcony, even better.
I love it. We've been talking with Sherry Laskin from CruiseMaven.com. Sherry, thank you for sharing your experience on your 7-night sailing on Carnival Pride out of Tampa.
Thanks, Doug. See you soon.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.